The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man named John was sent from God. He came to testimony to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, but the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not accept him. But to those who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not by natural generation, nor by human choice, nor by a man's decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'The one who is coming after me ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' From his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace. Because while the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my gosh, my friends. How perfect. This is it. This is it. How beautiful it is to be here to celebrate with you. I can see you. It's fantastic. I can see all my friends. We're gathered here again. We're gathered to celebrate the Lord's birth. We're gathered to celebrate George's birth as well. You can't forget that. Yeah. We love you, George. It's so good, my friends. I mean, as I began to preach this morning at midnight, I said, the only thing that will be better would be as if we were at Walmart. So the time has come. This is it. I think, we don't have a nativity scene in front of us today. You may have one in your car. I didn't know. I didn't see anything, but, we don't have a nativity scene here today, but there's something that that for me doesn't quite work about the nativity scene, and that's how picture perfect it is. Almost to the point of kitsch. And some of the nativity scenes, of course, are kitsch. But even the best of nativity scenes. Well, some of them are worse. Okay, and I don't think the Pope will have any problem with my trashing his nativity scene, because that was a monstrosity of the highest order. So sorry if you like that kind of thing, because you're beyond redemption. I don't know what you're doing here today. Okay, so I'm tired and delirious. Okay, so anyway, the nativity scene. Yes, the nativity scene. We love it. It's right. Look, there are good depictions of the nativity scene, and they're beautiful. And it's exactly right that it should be beautiful, because the imagery participates in the life of heaven, and it's that pointing beyond itself that gives art its enduring value. And there are many, many nativity scenes that do that for us. But the issue that I have with the nativity scene is that it's missing something. Now, we could go about it in any number of ways. We could say it's missing Herod. I don't know if there's a market for little Herod figurines that we can add on to our nativity scenes. That's one way of looking at it, which perhaps not everybody appreciates. But another way is, where is the bedraggled mess of characters that were there that first Christmas? Do you think, now I'll say, just because I don't want to bring lightning down on myself, I'm sure Mary had no hair out of place, right? No hair on her head out of place. But I mean, Joseph, I can throw under the bus, even in this year of St. Joseph. It wasn't this kind of picture perfect, clear, and should I say also sterile scene. More so than that, it wasn't a scene that is absent of darkness and danger and despair. And you'll understand then, my friends, why perhaps this year more than any other, I want to bring back the darkness and the bedraggled mess of the original Nativity. These are people who are having, we look at the Holy Family. Mary is giving birth to Jesus on the run. Right there, I mean, we could say they're pilgrims, more likely they're refugees. They're on the run. No one's there to make room for them, right? They're outcasts. They find themselves on the margins of society. And more so than that, we see in the gospel today what undergirds it all, the darkness of the world into which God chooses to be born. And this is what we have to claim for ourselves today. We have to claim it for ourselves. Because, we can look around. We did not expect to be here, right? Let's go back a year, go back 9 months. Did we expect to be here today celebrating Christmas in the Walmart parking lot? Even Walmart is shut down today. Well, maybe this is like the good effect of a holy and well focused Christmas. But here we didn't expect this, and we start to think around of all the various Christmas traditions that we have, all the things that we enjoy about the season and all the rest, and how many of them just seem out of our grasp this year. Right? There's darkness at least around us, but we know the nature of darkness, that it encroaches. Right, it creeps forward if it's left unchecked. But that's the beauty of what we celebrate today. God chooses the darkness. He chooses perhaps the darkest moment of human history to come into the scene. And there he brings his light to dispel the darkness. It's the same for us, my friends. The promise is on offer for us today as well. No matter how dark we feel it is, God is here bringing his light to shine. And the darker and more despairing it seems, the more likely God is to take up his home among us. We have to claim that today, my friends. If we can have this Christmas season, so whether it's, I don't know how you count, but today, of course, the 12 days of Christmas, you want to look all the way out to the baptism of the Lord. Pick your date, okay? Yeah, was that? Candle mass, exactly. These are vigorous debates in theology these days. How long is the Christmas season? However long your Christmas season is, my friends, we can have the best Christmas this year than we've ever had. And the opportunity is there for us, for the taking. Why? Because this year, much of what otherwise surrounds the feast is stripped away. And the light radiates ever more brightly in the darkness. If we allow ourselves to be drawn to Jesus, then our Christmas will be bright. And so let's go back to the manger. Let's see God who comes among us as a man, not just a man, as a baby. He comes among us vulnerable. You know, we know what vulnerability is. We're living it. But he comes to bring the rule of God. He comes to bring God's kingdom. He comes to usher in God's kingdom. And we see again what God's kingdom is in the birth of a newborn king. It's nothing other than love. It's a philosophical, theological maxim to say, love seeks the beloved. Right? So love goes to the beloved. Love cannot be contained. Love has to reach out to the beloved. And we see that, I mean, how unbelievably extraordinary it is that God, the God of the entire universe, the Almighty God, the all-powerful God, the all-knowing God, chooses to give himself so fully for us, his beloved, that he will become a vulnerable, tiny, newborn baby. That's love. It's nothing other than love. And so when we look on the Christ child, we see love in the flesh. And we allow our hearts to be moved by him. He came to draw us to himself. He came to have us share in his own divine life. And he wasn't afraid or ashamed to go to the end. He wasn't ashamed to associate himself with humanity, with his own checkered past and his own family line. He's not ashamed now, my friends, to live among us. And he wants to give us strength all the more so that we can not only receive his light, the light of his own, of his, the light of divine love, but he wants us to bring that same light into the present darkness. Now, we know that whenever we encounter Jesus, we end up walking away with a commission. And that's it, my friends. If it's all about love today, it's all about love being born among us, then it's all about love being born in the manger, on the altar, and in our hearts. And every time we turn to God, every time we turn to Christ, every time we pray to him, every time we seek his assistance, he's there to pour his love into our hearts anew, that we may have new strength and we can bear him witness wherever it is he sends us, bringing his love to life for everyone we encounter.